Well, you know, we started a new series here the first of the year, and gosh golly, it's already February. Amen. Time just really flies here. But we're talking about, the Lord had put a series in my heart. I pretty much most of the time, if you know me, if you've been around any length of time, that I'm series. I like to teach in series because you build upon a subject line upon line, precept upon precept. And that's how we grow. That's how we learn. Amen. And so Psalms chapter 11, verse 3, it says this: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're talking about the foundational things in a Christian's life, you know, and it's so important that we understand that just like this modern facility that we're in right now, actually it's been here a few years, but they remodeled it recently. But with any facility, whether it be your house or a public facility like this, the first thing that they do when they start to build is they lay the foundation. They lay the foundation. And the foundation is the most important part of any facility. Amen? I made mention of the fact a few years back, well, it's been more than that. It's probably been about 12 years ago. There was this housing development sort of close to our house on this walking trail. And I noticed they were putting up this house. Really nice house. Probably was about $600,000. Beautiful house. And one day we went by there and all of a sudden they're tearing it down. I'm like, what in the world happened to this? And I did find out through another person that there was a faulty foundation. There was something underground that was causing a crack in the foundation. And they had to tear the whole house down. This house looked beautiful. Amen? It's the kind of house that a child of God ought to live in. Amen? Are you with me now? And so the foundation, nobody brags about the foundation. If you build a house or whatever, you don't bring someone into your house. Come here. Let me show you the foundation. And take them down to the basement, pull the rug up, you know. Now, you look at the master bedroom, you look at the bathroom, the kitchen, all those kind of things. But all those things are built upon the foundation. Amen? So the foundation is really important. And this scripture bears that out. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Not too much. Amen? So we talked about some things, some pillars. And again, the CDs are free of charge. There's no charge for them. And we have every, I think, from part one all the way up till now on the table as you leave here today. Feel free to pick those up and go back because we don't have time to review all that information. But we talked about the first pillar is the integrity of the Word of God in the life of a believer. How it's important that we build our life on the Word of God. Amen. We talked about, number two, the love of God. How important it is to build your house spiritually on the love of God. My goodness, if you build your house, spiritual house, on the Word and on love, you will never fail. The Bible says love never fails. Who is love? God is love, and God never fails. So if you build your house on the love of God in your life, you will never fail. Amen? And then we, third thing we began to talk about last week, and we're going to pick this up again here today, is the third pillar we're talking about is prayer. Prayer in the life of a believer. Now, I want to review some things that we shared last week. And of course, even if we review something, the Holy Spirit always takes us in a little different direction. You know, of course, he's just like that. But prayer, first of all, what is prayer? All right. For some people, when you say prayer, you know, it means different things to different people. Right. But in essence, prayer is communication between you and God. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. You say, well, I don't even know what that is. Well, monologue means a one-way conversation. That means you do all the talking. All right. A dialogue is something that you share back and forth. In other words, you say something, God says something. You say something, God says something. And if you're like me, I want to hear everything that God is saying. Praise God. Do you know God is always talking? That we just have to have ears to hear what he's saying? Did you know that? Jesus said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. John said that in Revelation. If any man have ears. Now, we know we've got these natural ears, but then we have spiritual ears. You also have spiritual eyes. Remember, Paul prayed that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Amen. The very thing that you're, let's just put it this way. The very thing that you need right now, sitting here in this room right now, on the 10th day of February at 11:10. The very thing that you have need of right now in your life, whatever that is already found in the Word of God. And prayer is our connection between earth and heaven. Hallelujah. See, in my immature years of walking with God, you know, and I don't mean to say that I've reached full maturity. We're always growing, amen. But I used to think, you know, naturally thinking, how in the world, you know, if there's billions of people on planet Earth, how is it that God can be intimately acquainted with me and talk with me and at the same time talk with thousands, millions of other people on the earth today? You ever thought that before? No. Maybe you never thought that, I guess. Have you ever thought, I mean, naturally speaking, you think, because if you think naturally and you leave out the God factor, then it looks impossible. But see, with God, all things are possible. And in the Spirit, He is able to give you undivided attention. You ever been talking with someone before and they're looking this way and they're looking that way? And they're looking at their watch, you know, and you're talking to them, you're thinking, are they hearing what I'm saying? You know, it's kind of like when your parents talk to your teenagers. You ever notice when you want them to hear you, it's like they don't hear you. But when you don't want them to hear you, it's like they have bionic ears. It's like they hear it miles away. Sometimes we'll tease, we'll be in the car, and the kids will be in the back seat. We'll be driving, and I'll lean up. And Josh will pull his headphones out and go, what did you say? Oh, nothing. But when we want them to hear it, it's another thing entirely. Okay? See, the Word of God's good, isn't it? The first pillar is the Word, building your house on the foundation of the Word of God. So in other words, we have to ask ourselves, and how's the... I like to be practical and ask yourself this question. How do you apply these things? How do they work in the life of a believer every day? First of all, ask yourself in every issue of life, in every area of life, ask yourself, what does God's Word say about this? You know, your body's under attack. Your family's under attack. Your finances under attack. Whatever. You ask yourself, what does God say about this? And when you ask that question, I tell you, God will show you. He'll give you a scripture. Just like we saw at the offering, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Well, that's God's thoughts about your finances. Amen. And so you take that thought and you apply it. See, the Word of God is like food. Amen. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, what bread is to the natural body, the Word of God is to your spirit. Amen? You know, how many of you have an animal at home? I'm not talking about your husband or your wife. Okay. We have this little Sheltie dog, and he loves to eat. I don't know if about you, he's a miniature collie, but, you know, that dog just loves to eat. And it's like the best thing in the world for him. And I mean, that's like the second coming. Honestly. And he'll come. Sometimes he'll actually jump on all fours. You're getting ready to serve something, you know, and you get that bowl out, you know, and he hears that noise and it's familiar to him. He knows what's coming, you know. And so he just gets all excited. And I heard the Holy Ghost say to me one time, he says, I wish you would get that excited over my word. I thought, whoa, I ain't going to let no dog put me to shame. Amen. See, this is kind of funny, but one day Lynn was feeding the dog, you know. There's a little dry food and then wet food, you know. She wasn't paying attention. She's giving the dog wet food and it was on a spoon. She wasn't thinking. She put the spoon in her mouth. Elpo and all, man. She wasn't paying attention, obviously. How was that, Alpo? Was it pretty good? Not too good. But see, there's an expectation. That dog knows that they're going to get fed. He's going to get fed, you know. And we should have that expectation when we come to church. I mean, we're like, come on, give me the word now. Let's go. Give me the word. I need the word today. Yeah. We're not talking about tradition. We're talking about the word that changes your life. Yeah. You see, the word of God saved me. The Word of God filled me with the Holy Ghost. The Word of God healed my broken body several times. The Word of God supplied my need financially. The Word of God set me free several times in my life. So it's too late for some preacher to come along and say, this stuff doesn't work, because it does work. the Word of God is life, and it works. Amen. So prayer, we're talking about, is a communication with God. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. Go over to 1 John chapter 1 again. We saw some of this last week, but I want to review. We had that major storm last weekend. Amen. And as Lynn said last week, some people were fellowshipping with Brother Pillow and Sister Sheets last week. And just kidding. 1 John chapter 1, verses 2, it says, through 4, it says, "For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest to us." Now here's the Apostle John, who's the closest, the last apostle that literally died a natural death. He was not a martyr. He outlasted all the disciples. He was called the Apostle of Love for a reason. He was you have the 12, then you have the 3, Peter, James, and John, and out of the 3 you have John, the Apostle John, who was the closest one to Jesus. And he said something here, verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now notice the word fellowship, okay? It's the Greek word koinonia. It's a godly connection, supernatural connection. "And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now, folks, by the way, this means now on the earth, not when we get to heaven. "Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Verse 4, "And I write these things unto you that your joy may be" what? Full. See, God wants your joy to be what? Full. Well, if your joy can be full, it can be half full. Right? If your tank can be full, it can be half full. It's better to run on a full tank, isn't it? See, God's will is that you and I, that we have fullness of joy in our lives. Now, Psalm 16:11 says this, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy." Do you see that? Psalm 16:11, I mean, it says it right here. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. "And at thy right hand are pleasures evermore." Notice all these wonderful benefits from being in the presence of God. Fullness of joy. Pleasures evermore. That sounds like a good deal to me. In His presence. See, this is why the enemy of your soul, the demons that are in this earth, will try to fight every believer to stay out of the presence of God. Preachers and all. Because if the devil can keep us busy out of God's presence, then we're not operating like we should or could. Amen? But it's impossible to get in God's presence and walk out depressed. I've never been in God's presence and went out of God's presence wanting to chew someone out. Amen? Why? Because in His presence is fullness of joy. You get in God's presence and then you get behind some slowpoke, you know, as they say, a Sunday morning driver. And there's no way to get around them. And you're like, come on. You know, and your spirit will rise up and say, just be patient. It's going to be all right. You'll get where you need to get. Are you with me now? Mm-hmm. See, sometimes the place that you need to walk in love more than anything is behind that driver's wheel. Are you with me now? Mm-hmm. I heard somebody say, ouch, in the spirit realm. It's true, though, isn't it? I mean, you can tell a lot about a person the way they drive. Okay? Whether they're in the spirit or not. Never thought I'd say that this morning, but we did. But he says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So what happens is circumstantial things come at us from this side and from this side, and it will tell us, you're too busy. You got to attend to everything else. You don't have time to get in God's presence. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying 10 hours a day in prayer or anything. I'm not saying that. You can get in God's presence in 30 seconds. Do you know that? You could get in your car. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be in an altar somewhere. I mean, your car can be an altar. Just keep your eyes open then when you drive. But you can praise God and thank God and worship God while you're driving to work in the morning. Oh, Father, thank you so much. Praise you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then start speaking in tongues. Amen. I said, yes, speaking in tongues. All right. You heard that preacher say that, speaking in tongues. Okay. Is it all right? It's scriptural to do that. Amen. Praise God. Sing in the Spirit, pray in tongues, speak the Word of God, put a worship tape on. And you'd be surprised how much of a difference that'll make in the course of your day when you're going about your business. Hallelujah. See, God does not want the believer, any of us believers, to go on half empty. A number of years ago, we were in our first church, we were going to a prayer meeting we had on a Friday night. We were running behind and we had a lot of things going on, and to make things even worse, my gas tank was almost on empty. You know, now back in that vehicle that I had back then had a little computer on it, said you have this many miles before you run out of gas. It would tell you the exact amount of miles. So I thought, I have enough. There's enough miles here for me to go run an errand and run to the church. Well, on the way to the errand before prayer, it went from like 15 miles down to zero. I mean, all of a sudden, it went from 15. I'm like, how did this happen to zero? And we had this much time to get there on time and open the doors up and that kind of a thing. So I was pretty uptight about it. You know, I think, oh, God, please allow me to get to a gas station. You ever pray like that before? Bless these fumes in the tank, whatever you have to do, you know. And so I'm just really nervous. I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to run out of gas here, you know, and then I'm going to be late for prayer and people are going to be waiting outside the doors, you know. See, that's a preacher's nightmare, that you never get to the service and people are waiting. I've had that a few times. And I wake up and I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. It's a dream. Amen. And so I finally made it to a gas station, got the gas in there. And then the Lord started talking to me about this. Now, listen to this. See, even the Lord will take even things that you go through in your life to share with you something that will help you. And so the Lord began to talk to me just inside like he talks to you. And he said, well, how did that make you feel? And I know he was talking about before that. I said, well, it made me nervous, uptight, anxious. And he said, well, why? Because I thought I was going to run out of gas. He said, well, did you feel that way after you filled the tank up? I said, no, I was at peace. A number of years ago, we were driving across the state of Texas. You know, it takes 24 hours to drive across the state of Texas. Literally, the speed limit, 24 hours to drive across Texas. Well, we were going from central to west Texas to El Paso. And we almost ran out of gas. I'm telling you, we were out in the middle of, you know, those tumbleweeds and all this kind of stuff. I mean, like you would see in a John Wayne movie. Well, when the Lord began to talk to me about this, he said, well, when you have a full tank, you don't get nervous because you're not on the verge of running out. He said, it's the same way spiritually. Because when you're running on half tank, you get irritable like that. You're ready to jump down someone's throat. Not literally, you know what I'm saying, but you're on edge and you're ready to snap at somebody because you're uptight. You're not at rest. You're not at peace. And God wants us to be at rest. He wants us to be at peace. And the only way that we can do that is if we just stay full. Just stay full. Say, stay full. See, God wants believers to be filled, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day of the week, you know. That's why he gave, you know, inventions of CDs and MP3s and, I mean, everything you can think of nowadays and iPods and, you know, back in the day it was just 8 tracks and reel to reel and things like that. But we've come a long way. So there's many ways that we can stay full and stay tanked up. You know, the world is counting on you to stay full. The world is saying, will a real Jesus please stand up? Remember that show years ago? What's that called? What's My Line or something like that? You get three guys that come out there and they say, my name's John Smith. My name's John Smith. My name's John Smith. And they have a series of questions that they go through. How many ever saw that back in the day? Will the real John Smith please stand up? And it kind of fools everybody. Amen. And the world is saying, will the real Jesus Christ please stand up? Well, if we're full of God and we're full of His Word and we're full of the anointing, then people will say, God is in that man, God is in that woman. How many of you know that ought to be said more than just the preacher? Well, there's a lot of preachers you can't say that about, but let me, every single believer, we ought to be so filled with God that people know everywhere we go, there's something different about them. There's something, I don't mean weird, I mean there's something good upon them. You know, when the Bible says we're a peculiar people, that doesn't mean strange. Amen? Weird? Nerds? Are you with me now? When we get filled with the Holy Ghost, God makes us a very winsome, very attractive. People are drawn to us because they want what we have. They want what we have. All right? And so in His presence is fullness of joy. Now go over to John 15, if you would. John 15. In verse 15. Praise God. The Lord Jesus Himself said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you, notice this, friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. These things command I. Notice He didn't say suggest. I command you that you love one another. Now in verse 16, Jesus is talking about fruit remaining. But what fruit is He talking about here? He's talking about prayer fruit. Everybody say prayer fruit. See, the Lord wants you to be able to pray and get results. See, prayer is not like a slot machine or a gambling place where you're just kind of hoping. You know, it's kind of sad to me, you know, and I'm sure you've seen it too. You go into a gas station or something like that, and you'll see just a line of people. And a lot of times it's older people, and they're buying their lotto tickets. Just like you buy your groceries, buy your lotto tickets, and sometimes a list of things that long, you could just see them giving it to them, you know, and I've never bought a lotto ticket once. I'm not condemning you if you did, okay? Just understand where I'm coming from here. But, you see, I know a better way that you win 100% of the time. Amen. There's no guarantee. There's more losers than there are winners in the lottery. Did you know that? Yeah. And people get like a spirit of greed on them, like, I'm just hoping that I just win this lottery. It's up to $5 million, you know? Let me tell you something. If the Lord wants you to do it, He'll show you. And if He wants you to do it, you'll win. But I read in my Bible that what the Bible says, when I give to the gospel's sake, that I can receive 100-fold return. I mean, for the sake of the gospel, it says that in Mark. All right? That means that I can get 100% results every time I give for the gospel's sake. It's not like, well, maybe God will hit me. Maybe I'll win the spiritual lotto this time. Are you with me now?
Amen.
Okay, are we stepping on any toes? God, come to healing school tonight. God will heal them. Amen. I'm just trying to show you something here. There's the world system, and then you have God's system. When you give to God, you can expect a return every single time. When you buy a lotto ticket, you're probably going to lose. Because the odds of winning are so ridiculous. Are you with me now? And yet people have this false hope. But when you give for the kingdom's sake and you put your faith to that, you can receive the Lord's return. And it's wonderful. Amen? So, I don't know why I said that, but we did anyway. But you notice that He said that I want your fruit to remain. Praise God. Now, he's talking about prayer fruit, all right? Now, last week, we began to talk a little bit about this and how we can make this practical in our lives about praying, okay? Now, I could literally do a series on prayer that would last until late spring, early summer. I could really, you know, look under every rock, behind every bush, so to speak, really do an investigation on the subject of prayer. That's not what our intention is right now. But what I want to do is give you enough information that will help you to get on your course. We're talking about these pillars of success that hold up your big spiritual building, you know, that we have the Word of God. Amen? The love of God. And then number three, prayer. But first of all, how can we make this practical? Number one, we talked a little bit about this last week, is this. Talk to the Lord as a friend. Every one of you here, you begin to talk to the Lord as a friend. Why? Because He is your friend. Jesus, we just got done reading where Jesus said, "You're my friends. You're my friends." I want you to say this with me. I am God's friend. Now listen, the Bible says Abraham was the friend of God. And Abraham was under the old covenant. He wasn't born again yet. He wasn't a new creature in Christ Jesus. But you are. You have something. Remember, matter of fact, Jesus even said this about John the Baptist. Remember, he said, of all the prophets from Genesis till now, he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, all the prophets, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. Why? Because he was the forerunner right before Jesus. He saw Jesus in the flesh. Isaiah and Ezekiel and all the prophets, they didn't see Jesus in the flesh. They prophesied about him. But John the Baptist was like this with Jesus, ran neck and neck with him. He saw him. He talked with him. And he prophesied his coming and made preparation, make straight the paths and get ready. Jesus said this, he's the greatest of all the prophets. He said, however, he that is in the kingdom of God is greater than him. What's he mean by that? Because John the Baptist, no one, folks, you understand this, nobody could be born again until Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So John is still operating under the Old Testament. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, that's Old Testament, even though we consider it New Testament. The New Testament didn't begin until Jesus was resurrected and the Holy Ghost came. Thank you. You'll look like you're watching a sad movie or something, you know. Praise God. Jesus said, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because you're born again. See, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all these prophets, they're all prophesying with the Spirit of God will come upon them, but the Spirit wasn't in them. You and I have the Holy Spirit not upon us, but within us. See, you can say things that they never said. They never knew what it was like to have Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. But you and I do. That's why Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. We don't have a worse covenant. We have a better covenant. And if we have a better covenant, guess what? One of the reasons that is because we have the Spirit in us. They had Him upon them in the Old Testament. But we have Him in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So how do we make this practical, this talking to the Lord? First of all, talk to the Lord as a friend. Begin to talk to Him. Consult the Lord. Ask Him about things. So many, 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 many times, we're running to people instead of running to God. I'm not opposed to asking people for things at times. There's a right place to do that. But so many times, people are looking to people for their help when they should be looking to the Lord. Many times people don't want to take the time to pray and wait and listen for God's wisdom regarding a situation. Okay? The scripture tells us that sound wisdom is laid up for the righteous in Proverbs, not from the righteous. It's laid up for
the righteous. That's you and that's me. So if you ask the Lord, now he's under no obligation to give you information you didn't ask him for. One thing about we have to understand about the Lord, he's a perfect gentleman. Are you with me? And he will never force himself on you. He's a gentleman. He doesn't do that. But if you ask him, if you ask the Lord, now Lord, what do you think about this situation here? I need wisdom regarding this situation here. Then he will be much obliged, as they say, to step in to give you the wisdom and the direction that you need regarding that situation. Now, I don't know about you, but none of us here, compared to God's wisdom, how can I say this? None of us are bright in the natural. Okay? I heard this in my spirit one time. God is so wise, he'll make Einstein look like an idiot. And we know, Mr. Einstein, that guy had some brains, didn't he? Dear Lord. You know? But yet, compared to God, he's a dummy. I'm not criticizing anybody. You understand that? Don't walk out here and say, oh, he's called us dummies today, you know? But I'm saying, compared to God's wisdom, oh, he's so smart. I mean, you think about God. As big as he is, yet he can be so small. You think about your physical body, the parts that you can see. What about your cells? Who created that? The Lord. Your natural eye can't see it. You got to go under a microscope to even see it, even then. And yet, God created the mountains and the trees that you can see. As big as God is, yet he is that small. That's how wise God is. He knows how many hairs are on your head, the Bible says. He knows how many cells are in your body. He's very intimately acquainted with you. Okay? Doesn't that bless you? And he knows what you have need of even before you ask him. The Bible says that. When you go to God and say, Lord, blah, 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 he's going to say, oh, really? I didn't know that. See, God has all knowledge. He knows everything. And he can give you a piece of that knowledge to help you and to bring you out of that situation. Isn't the Bible talk about a word of knowledge? Not a sentence, but a word of knowledge. Sometimes God will just give you a little piece there, but that little piece is all that you need. Amen? You're going through something the Lord might say to you, you know what, it's okay. It's going to work out. Just laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Just laugh. Rejoice. But your mind's saying, ooh, this doesn't look very good. Because your eyes will tell you one thing, your mind will tell you another thing, but the Holy Ghost inside you will say, ha, 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 ha. Just laugh. Have a good time. It's going to work out. Are you with me now? First words. What do we hear in the morning? Because your first words that you hear are the words that are going to stay with you throughout the whole day. Well, I'll tell you what, if you open your heart up and your ear, see, we can get so thinking, I got to do this, task-oriented. I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, got to do that. And there's nothing wrong with getting things done. Nothing wrong with that at all. However, what are we going to be, a Martha or a Mary? Remember that story about Martha and Mary? Jesus came into the house. And Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She looked like a lazy bones. She's sitting there listening to Jesus. And Martha is in the kitchen sweating over the preparation of the meal. Finally, she just had enough. And she walks into the living room, you know, where Jesus is. She could see her putting her hands on her hips. She had an attitude. And she said, Jesus, don't you care that I'm doing this alone and my sister sitting here? Martha really thought that Jesus was going to back her on this situation. But it backfired on her, man, for a good reason. He said, Martha, Martha. Now, when the Lord calls your name twice, you're in trouble. I know that growing up, Keith.
Keith.
Forget the middle name, but, you know, if God calls you, if God calls your name twice, look out here, baby, you know. And what happened was he said, Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen the best part, which shall not be taken away from her. Another translation says Mary chose the best dish. See, Martha is wanting to ream out her sister with the support of Jesus. And Jesus caught it right there. He said, wait a minute. She's sitting. It looked like she was lazy. It looked like she was like, I don't feel like doing this today. But what did she do? She was hearing Jesus' words. Oh, the master himself was right there. And Martha's in the kitchen just sweating over it. See, it was her attitude that was wrong. There's nothing wrong with preparing a meal. Amen? You hear that, sweetheart? There's nothing wrong with preparing a meal, but it's the attitude behind it. Martha could have had a good attitude. She could have been in there, oh, man, I'm making a meal for the master. Oh, this is great. Lord, help me to do this right now. And they both would have been blessed. But she had a sourpuss attitude about it. She said, Lord, my sister. But Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're troubled not only about this thing, you're troubled about many things. In other words, she had an unrest spirit. Her spirit was not at rest. She was always worried and anxious about other things. So this was not the first time that she was anxious. Are you with me? Well, if I don't worry, then I'm not really being responsible. Now, never say to someone, I've been really worried about you. That, you know, worry never healed a person. Worry never delivered a person. Worry never put money in a person's bank account. But faith will. Well, I'm worried about you. Amen? Wow, it's quiet in this church this morning. Amen. I thought I heard some church mice run across the back of the... So we're to talk to the Lord as a friend every day. To talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk, inquire of the Lord. Ask Him questions. This is where you will develop your spiritual sensitivity to the Lord. Now listen, we're going to miss it. That's not a negative confession. There are times that you'll make mistakes. It's no different than driving a car. You might hit a curb or two, whatever, you know. But that doesn't stop you from driving. Amen. Just like when you started walking, you can't remember it, but you know, you fell a few times. But you didn't give up, you just kept getting back up. All right? And spiritually speaking, don't give up. If you make a mistake, you do something you thought you might have heard the Lord on a situation, don't condemn yourself. It just, the Lord would rather have you try and do something than not do anything at all. I mean, think about the disciples. One out of 12 stayed in the boat. Who got out? Peter. People criticized Peter. Well, he started to walk and then he sank. Well, the others didn't do anything. They stayed in the boat. And they watched it on HD. They watched it. But Peter got out of the boat. And sometimes when you're serving the Lord, it'll look like a risk, like you're taking a risk. When you give for the gospel's sake, it'll look like a risk. Trust me. It'll look like a risk, but you know what? There are no risks when you're doing things for God. Amen. Never is there. Glory to God. So how do we do this in a practical way about prayer? This pillar here is talk to the Lord as a friend. Secondly, here, we talked about this last week, is pray the word of God over situations. If you would, go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You know, the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter, isn't He? Jesus said He's the teacher, He's the Comforter, you know. And I remember back when I was attending Bible school, there was an evangelist lady named Sandy Brown. She's still in the ministry, you know. And she was a, previously, before she got saved, she was a bartender and worked in Las Vegas. And just a pitiful lifestyle. But she got saved. She got born again. And she found out that the Holy Spirit was her comforter, you know. And she was just stupid enough to believe what God said. She heard the preacher say, the Holy Ghost is your comforter. So she would come home from working, you know, and the Lord was building her up and bringing her out of that lifestyle, you know. And she came and sat down in her house, in her chair in her living room. She said, all right, Holy Ghost, comfort me. And she said, much to her surprise, the Lord began to talk to her and tell her things. And that she began her spiritual journey by listening on the inside of what the Lord was telling her to do. And the Lord would say, do this or do this. Or the Lord would say, I just want you to know that I love you today. Whoa. The Lord telling you that? He's always telling you that. Do you know that? He's always telling you that. A lot of folks don't want to, Christian folks don't want to believe that. But I'm telling you, God loves you. That's the most important revelation you could ever have. What greater revelation can you have? Can I tell you something, a little secret here? Are you ready for this? You want to get in on this? Just a couple of you. Huh? Come on now. Do I have to be like a cheerleader up here this morning? And no, you don't want to see that. Wouldn't be real pretty. Amen. The Lord, now I had the Lord share this with me recently, and it just reminded me of something. See, the Lord can tell you something you've heard before, that He'll stir your way up your minds by way of remembrance to help you understand and walk in this thing. Do you know the Lord loves you unconditionally? Translated this, there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing that you can do to make God fall in love with you more or impress God more. Now, your mind has a hard time with that. It's like, you know, but I can receive it. I can receive that. That's called agape love. He loved us while we were yet sinners. And when you understand that it's not your little goody things that you do that gain God's favor in your eyes, that makes you feel at ease and comfortable in God's presence. Amen. Through the years, you know, I've talked to different people, and there are some people that they wanted to come to church, but their attitude was, I got to clean some things up in my life before I go to church. Well, this church is like a spiritual hospital. Is a hospital for well people or sick people? It's for sick folks, amen? And the church is like a spiritual hospital. The church is not for perfect people. It's for people that are messed up. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners. Amen. And when we realize our state of brokenness in our lives, then we're in a position where God can help put us back together. Better than Humpty Dumpty. Are you with me? Now, I'm not saying that in a negative, say that you're all messed up and all this stuff. And I'm saying there's areas in our lives that need fixed, right? There's none of us. Our minds aren't completely renewed. There's areas all of us have attitudes at times. You know, there's times we're grouchy, amen, all of us. There's times that we have to deal with things. We're not perfect in the flesh. But see, there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. So that means you can be at rest, at home, like, wow, He loves me. I didn't do anything, and He still loves me. That puts you at ease, and you know that you're accepted. The Bible says in Ephesians that you're accepted in the Beloved. You're totally accepted. You do not have to be inferior in God's presence or anybody else's presence for that matter. You ever been around people that you feel like you don't measure up to them? And there's a few people in here that through your life on this earth, you feel like you just don't measure up to them. You feel like you have to prove something. You feel like you have to do something. And then even then, you feel like, I don't feel like I really, you know, you know, stand tall in their presence. God is not like that. Your heavenly Father is not like that. He accepts you because of the blood of Jesus. You are worthy because of the blood of Jesus. You stand righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Hear me out this morning. You know, the Lord's talking through my lips right now. Okay? You are righteous because of the blood of Jesus, and you have full right standing because of His blood. So you can start seeing yourself that way. It's one thing for God to see you a certain way, but it's another thing. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? You know what I mean? Anybody here ever see the movie Lion King? Okay. Even us adults, we've seen that, you know. Remember the one scene in the movie where Simba is getting ready to take over his father's spot and he sees himself in a pool of water, a reflection of himself. Remember that? And when he looks in, all of a sudden he sees his father. Remember that? And it changed his image from a little bitty lion to the king of the jungle. Are you with me now? And there's something about when you see yourself like God sees you, you'll rise up. And you'll be something you've never been before. It's not based on your status or where you grew up. You know, if you're born with a silver spoon or a plastic spoon in your mouth. Whether you came from riches or rags. You know, it doesn't matter because you become a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's the richest one in the world. And you're His child. Are you with me now? God forbid that we should see it any other way. I don't know how in the world people try to communicate these things and beat people down. The gospel's good news. And if you see yourself the way God created you to be, you will rise up and you'll be someone you've never been before. I had you turn to 1 John, didn't I? I think I gave you enough time, didn't I? But 1 John chapter 3, let's wrap this up this morning here. And verse 13 says, we're talking about the second thing about praying the word of God over situations. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of Him. Now again, I want you to see right here, this is the confidence. Say confidence. What does that mean? Confidence means a full assurance, a knowing. How many of you know what your first name is? Raise your hand. Well, about four people. I'm not sure what my name is. Let me ask my mother. You're confident about who your name is because that was you were given that from birth, whether you like that name or not. He said, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, we have the petitions we desire of Him. So that doesn't sound to me like a hit and miss. That sounds to me like assurance. So in other words, when you're praying in line with God's word and God's will, you can be assured you've got it. You've got it. You have it. It belongs to you. Not like it's Lord, if it be thy will. Jesus only prayed that one time, folks. In the prayer of Gethsemane, you know, before He went to the cross and prayed the prayer of consecration and dedication. He said, Lord, if there's any other way, let it, you know, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus never prayed that any other time. He was consecrating His life to the plan and the purpose of God. But you'll never see Him walk up to a blind man and say, Lord, if it be thy will. You never once see that in the Gospels. Not one time. Not one time. So to take one phrase that Jesus prayed and apply it to all other areas of life is only going to put us in a spirit of unbelief. Lord, I'm sick. My stomach's hurting. My elbow's hurting. Lord, if it be thy will, heal me. Well, how do you know what God's will is? His word. When you know God's word, you know God's will. And when you know God's Word, you can pray God's Word and you can receive answers 100% of the time. I mean, every time. It's never, ever, ever a hit and miss. It's not like, well, I sure hope if God's in a good mood today. No, whatever we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask. Verse 15, we have the petitions. We have. That we desire of Him. Now, in closing here today, we have to understand this. To get results prayerfully, we have to start to begin to pray the Word of God. Let's go over to one more scripture and we'll close here. Isaiah 43, in verse 25 and 26. Isaiah 43. Oh, I love this scripture. In verse 25 says, God says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. And the Lord said this. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Now listen. Why does God say, put me in remembrance? Is it because He's been around so long that He's forgotten things? You know, God's been around for a billion years. You know, maybe He's forgotten a few things, and I don't think so. The Lord doesn't forget anything. The Lord doesn't get old. Some people picture God like this, you know, like this bearded guy up on the throne that's been around a long time. The beard is down to his knees. And just all gray and just stern looking. But see, God doesn't age. In Christ, you don't age. The Bible says, though our outward man is getting older, our inward man is renewed day by day. People do not get older in heaven. Amen. The perfect age of maturity in heaven is about 30 years of age. And people stay at that age. No wrinkles, no gray hair, no body fat, nothing. It's all part of the curse. Are you with me now? There was an evangelist recently I was listening to, and the Lord allowed him to see his Father in heaven. And of course, he had never seen his Father like this, but the Lord took him to heaven, and he saw his Father. And his Father was like a picture that he saw when he was 30 years old, jet black hair, this good-looking son of a gun, you know? And he talked to his dad just for a few short minutes. And just reassured him. And he came back. This is an evangelist that came back into his body. And the Lord showed him, you know, this is the way it is here, you know. Though a person might have been 90 or 85 and they go to heaven, they don't look that way when they're in heaven. They're a perfect age of maturity, like Jesus at 30 years of age. Heaven is a real place. It's a real place. It's more real than this place. And we're all bound for that. Glory to God. But God says here, put me in remembrance. Now, why does God have us to do that? Because, not because He forgets, but because we remind ourselves, here's what God says right here. Now, Brother Tom did a great job with the offering this morning. He brought up the scripture there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, which is God's word. And I liked what he said about that God will supply according to His measuring stick. He will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. That was awesome, wasn't it? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That means if you have a physical need in your body, you can take this scripture. Put God in remembrance. Now, Father, you said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. And right now, I want to thank you for meeting all of my needs today in Jesus' name. Amen. And go about your way rejoicing. Ah, thank you, Lord. Well, what did you just do? 1 John chapter 5, we know that whatever we ask according to His will, He hears us. His word is His will. And whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Now, man, you might not have one goosebump attached to that. There might not be any natural feeling whatsoever. But guess what?
God heard you based on His Word, not based on your goosebump. Now, you may have a feeling or not, but some of the greatest things I've seen happen, in my life at least, came when I had no feeling whatsoever attached to it. It's just believe God's Word. Just believe His Word. He's just looking for simple folks like you and I just to say, Lord, I believe that. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. And go about your way rejoicing. Hallelujah. Father, thank You that You supply my needs today. Oh, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. And You're not sweating over it. You're not laboring over it. You're not striving and straining and grunting and groaning and everything else. You're just at rest. Father, You said You would supply all of my needs. What would happen right now if the Lord Jesus Christ, now He's here in spirit, but what would happen right now if He appeared right here in front of this podium all of a sudden? Just imagine this. Here's the Son of God. Here's the Master Himself standing here in a robe and sandals and said these words to you. And He looked out and He said, My Word says that I will supply all of your needs according to My riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And He disappeared. How would that affect you? And that's all He said. He just said Philippians 4:19. That's all He said. How would that impact you today? You'd be like, whoa. Wow. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? How would you react? Oh, Jesus showed up this morning. Honey, let's go to Eaton Park. No, you'd probably be staying here a little bit longer. You forget about lunch. I don't want no blasted hamburger right now. I don't want that, you know. I want to just meditate on this, see what Jesus just said to me. Yes, are you with me now? What did Jesus do? All He did was just say what the Word says. He is the Word. And when you take His Word at face value and act as if it was a visitation, you'll get supernatural results. You don't need now the Lord could, but you don't need Him to appear to you, and if He wants to, that's fine. But He's looking for people that will just take Him at His Word and say, the Word says it. I believe it. That settles it in my life right now. And that's when the miraculous power of God begins to go in operation, when you just accept the Word at face value. And you see it for what it is, and you accept it for what it is. Great things will take place. Are you with me now? Amen. Hallelujah. Some of the greatest miracles that you will see in your life as a believer will come when you just have a childlike faith that says, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. Say, I believe that.
I believe.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. See, why is it in other countries, in African place, that you can go in and preach, they've never heard, it's their first sermon. They hear one sermon on the healing power of God, and multitudes get healed. They just jump up and run and heal, and blind eyes are open, and deaf ears are unstopped, and things like this happen. Why is it? Because they have just enough sense to believe what the man of God said. Or, Pastor, I believe that. You know? You don't have to talk like that, but they just believe it. They believe the man of God. Huh? And they believe what the Word says. Therefore, they get results. They get quick results. It doesn't say you have to spend 34 hours in Bible school and hear these things, and then you'll believe it, and then you're in a position to receive. You can receive just like that right now. That kind of leads us into tonight's service. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Miracles, signs, wonders. And bring people that don't know about this stuff, that don't know, that need healing and need miracles in their body. That's why we're here. I'm not a miracle worker, but God is. I couldn't heal anything, but God can.
Amen.
Neither can you. So there's no pressure on us. Jesus is the healer, and He wants to manifest Himself.